For Children's Church, God bless them and the teachers as they go forth and have a great time together in the Word of God on their level. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And while they're being dismissed, we're going to focus in the Word of God. And let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Amen. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also. Somebody help me. So if you give a little, you will reap how much? A little. Now, don't get nervous. We've already taken the offering. Everything's settled for tonight. Relax. But we're going to go here tonight because we very, very, very seldom go here. And we're not going here because there's a complaint. We're going here because it's the Word of God. And so we're going to go into the Word of God in the area of giving. And it says, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Amen. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Amen. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. We ask folks not to even begin to tithe. I do. I know I've had other pastors to hear me say that, and they thought, hey, I don't care if they're mad or not. I just want them to give. The Bible is asking us to give cheerfully. In other words, when you give, you need to love giving. And if you're not ready for that, just keep it. That's what I say. Because it will do us good, and I appreciate that, but it's not going to do you any good to give it grudgingly and to be all upset about it and uptight about it. And so until you get the victory, just hang on to it. And when you start giving it, watch God start blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So everybody shouted, Lord, help him. Thank you so much. I need that desperately. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. All right. Now, I want to give you a statement of faith tonight. The earth and all of its fullness. That means everything that is in this world belongs to who? The Bible says it belongs to God. Christians have been made stewards of all these possessions. All these things that God created have been given to Christians to be stewards over that. They're redeemed. All these things are redeemed for personal usage by rendering the first tenth of all one's increase back to the Lord. That's how the rest is redeemed. That's how, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. We're going to go deep with this tonight, so please pay very, very close attention. Don't just close the door, but leave it open for thought. Amen. Failure to do this, the Bible says, is to rob God. And of the remainder, one is to give offerings for the advancement of God's kingdom. When a person accepts this plan of God and accepts the responsibility, God will accept the responsibility of providing for that person. Amen. So we read and you're hearing the key verse tonight that we are to give, but we are not to do it grudgingly. But we are to do it in the spirit of love, charity. That's what charity means. And so, what is a steward? What is a steward? In the biblical sense, he's one who manages the affairs of another. That's what a steward is. I will take care of this for you. And that's stewardship. And so, as children of God, we've been made stewards of God's heritage and all of his creation. We're to take care of it, nurture it, and provide for it. These spiritual treasures must be properly handled in addition to the material possessions the Lord has given us. Now, the word steward is most often associated with somebody's financial responsibility to God's kingdom. This lesson tonight will reveal that everything belongs to God, and Christians will be judged according to their stewardship over these things. Amen. And so you come on Tuesday night because you want to grow, right? You come on Tuesday night because you want to stretch. You come on Tuesday night because you want to go further and deeper into the Word of God. So, why would we even want to go deeper in the Word? Because we know the Word is God, and we know that if we obey the Word, that it will please God. And so, ultimately, we are here tonight because we want to live a life that pleases God. Amen. And that's the beauty of it all. We cannot please someone that we don't know. Tuesday night, Bible study introduces to him in a deeper fashion. Amen? All right, let me give you this sliver. How about accepting God's plan to begin with? Accepting God's plan. Amen. Now, a lot of people have paid large fees to sit down with a financial advisor and get assistance in money management. And this is a lot of times it's a good benefit, and it helps people. Since a lot of people lack talent in this particular area, but one's got to realize that God also has authored a financial plan that is absolutely foolproof. However, it's going to require one virtue that not everyone in this world possesses, and that is faith in God. Anybody that tithes has faith in God. Anyone that gives in additional offering and sacrifice has faith in God. Amen. And I remember some of you sharing with me how it was the first time this was a sacrifice to us. We didn't really have it. We needed this for gas money, or we needed this for groceries, or we needed this for rent or payments, and yet God laid it on our heart. It wasn't you, Pastor. God spoke to us, and we needed to do this, and we spoke about it and agreed upon it, and we stepped out by faith, and we did it. And today, I want you to know, we went to the mailbox, and there was a $700 check in there, and it just goes on and on and on what God does. Amen. And so, if you have never, ever stepped into that arena, then you really don't know what it means to let God be your provider. Because you're the one trying to do all of the provision. That's why a lot of times financially we just barely hold on by a thread. Amen. The Lord can help you manage your money and your finances. Here's what's got. Let's go to this is rather lengthy scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. But after that, we're going to talk about how a master must be chosen. Okay? But let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon in this instance means riches. So you can't serve God and your riches. You say, well, I don't have any riches. That's why you're not serving God. Just kidding. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, what does the Bible say? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now this doesn't mean go home and go to bed and God will take care of you. But it means go about your day doing the things that you should do, and God will see to it that you're taken care of. If, again, you do the things that you should do. Amen. Behold the fowls of the air. Look at this. For they sow not. They don't sow anything. Neither do they reap, nor do they gather into their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Amen. So they don't have a bank account. They don't have anything. And every day of their life, they have to depend on God to see to it that they're able to eat. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Only God. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and the Lord dresses them. That's what he was saying. And he said, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed, was not dressed like one of these lilies that can't move, can't reach out, can't go grocery shopping, can't go buy clothes. And Solomon never looked as good as they look, because God knows how to take care of things. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and then tomorrow is cast into the oven or gone, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? We withhold from God because of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what am I going to have to drink? Or what shall we be clothed with if I give God his part? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. They seek other things first. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. He knows that. And so here's what we do. We seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the right thing to do? And then all of these other things shall be added unto you. We should be able to say, that's the Bible study. And many of you say, I got a revelation. But I'm going to share a little bit more with you just to be convincing. Praise God. Do you love the Word tonight? I love the Word of God because it's true, it's faithful, and it stands. Amen. So everyone must choose a master. The word mammon is derived from the name of a Greek god of wealth and riches. It's referred to when riches are regarded as an object of worship and greedy pursuit. One simply cannot serve God and riches. If he cannot trust God, then his trust must be in wealth and riches or his finances. Hear what the word of the Lord says. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember that in Joshua? And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the Lord is saying again to the New Testament church, choose you this day whom you will serve. But the wise man will serve the Lord. If talk of tithes and talk of offerings and sacrifice causes consternation and gets you all upset and in your heart and the individual, then you're serving the wrong God. If my talking about tithing and my talking about offering and all of that gets you all in a tizzy, then there's a God in this world that doesn't like that kind of talk, because he knows that if you ever get the revelation, both the church of the living God and you are going to be taken care of. But he knows if he can get you to keep on hanging on to it, thinking a better day's coming, then he knows that he can cheat the church and cheat you as well. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's look at this. Let me give you another little sliver here tonight. Let's look at God as the provider. Not just somebody you love, not just something that you praise, not just something you worship and come and feel after every now and then, but let's look at him also as the one that provides for us. How about that? Jesus said that the Gentiles spend all their time worrying about houses, they worry about their clothes, and daily provision. That's what they worry about all the time. Yet the Christian is instructed to take no thought of these things. And the Lord shared with them, look what the lily wears. And it just sits there. And Yet, it doesn't have any worry wrinkles. The fowls of the air, they don't get ulcers. Yet God has provided for them. He's also promised to provide for his followers. But with one provision. Verse 33 requires one to seek God's kingdom and righteousness first. And then all these things will be added to him. One has no claim to the promise until he has met the provision. You provide God what he's asking for. And then you can put claim on the kingdom of God. And he'll provide for you. Is that a good deal? Sure. Amen. All right. Let's look at the... Ready for another sliver? Let's look at the thermometer of our faith. What is the thermometer of our faith? Therefore, giving becomes more than an option to a child of God. It's nothing short of the thermometer of our faith. When one accepts God's financial plan, he expresses faith that God will provide for me because of obedience. Not the amount of money, amen, but it's what belongs to God, amen. If it's a dime, it's a penny. If it's a dollar, it's a dime. Am I right? If it's 10, it's one. Come on now. It's a 10. Praise God. It's only a penny out of a dime. Failure to accept the Lord's plan. And I reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, this is not my plan. This is the Lord's plan. That makes it very, very paramount, very important. Amen. And so failure to accept the Lord's plan is an expression of absolute doubt. You're showing absolute doubt. You're saying that he can take better care of himself. An individual, rather, is saying, I can take better care of myself. Doubt is the only real reason for failure to give tithing and to give offering and sacrifice. Therefore, an individual's faith is best expressed through giving. A person's attitude in giving also shows his faith. Amen. The key verse reveals that bountiful giving produces bountiful reaping. Stingy giving produces stingy reaping. And this giving, when done in faith, will come from a cheerful heart. A heart that loves God and desires to please God. Can you say amen? If someone would help me, one of these young men perhaps, if you could go to my office and get my water off my desk, I would appreciate that. Thank you so much. Amen. Somebody said, don't get it. He'll be shorter. I heard you. Praise God. Amen. So, that's our thermometer. Faith in our giving. Faith in what belongs to God. Faith in what God can trust us with. Praise God. Amen. No one in this church is going to outgive me. Now, you may give more because you're tithing. Your income may be more. But you're not going to outgive me. Amen. Because I'm going to be faithful, and I always have, in my tithing, my offering, and my sacrifice. And if you're not careful, I'll lead the way. And I'm not saying that to be bragging. I'm saying that because it's what I do. It's who I am. It's what God made me. It's not something I just volunteered to do. It's not something I just like to do. Oh, he's a big giver, man. He loves that stuff. No. Hey, I love God. That's why I'm a big giver. Praise God. And to me, it's gone way beyond sacrifice. How can a person call it sacrifice when it comes right back to you more than what you gave? Amen. And it does. It does every time. All right. So let's look at the redemption factor. Amen. Does anybody want to be saved? Again, how much does God own? How much belongs to God? So, who's the owner? Who's the provider? Who's the caretaker? Who's the one that we're responsible to? So, all we are at best is stewards of what God is giving us. And we must be careful to mete out what belongs to Him and then what belongs to us. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10:26 reveals to whom everything belongs. Amen. We know who that is. The earth and all of its fullness is God's. All our homes are His. Our automobiles are His. All the boats. If a person owns a camp or a cabin or recreation area, it's His. It's God's. Even if these things came about through human labor and investment, it is God who provided it. The job, the finances, the money, it all came together. God provided. Human beings only truly possess that. Listen to me now. We only possess that which we brought into the world. Now, tell me what you brought into this world. I hate to tell you, but you didn't even have any clothes on. You couldn't even see clear. You couldn't talk. You couldn't walk. You had to be fed. And things had to get better. So from the very first day, the Lord started taking care of me. Because you came into this world with absolutely nothing. So who are we that when we get a few things, a little job, we get some clothes, we get a nice house, or we get whatever, and feel like that's mine. This is mine. And I don't know. I don't get this thing about God asking tithing, asking offer. Hey, you don't have to get it. It's already His. He gave it to you and trusted you with it. And you have to do what you're supposed to because He trusted you to be a steward over all the things that He has given you. Amen. And so we're stewards. That's part of the redemption plan. Amen. Can you say amen? All right. Human beings, we only possess what we had when we came into this world. And we came into this world with nothing. Amen. If one claims ownership because he accumulated it while here on this in this world, then he should be able to take it with him when he leaves. So what do we bring into this world? What are we going to take? Oh. So we got it from God when we came. And when we leave, we got to leave it back in God's hands because we're only stewards. That's all we are. We're here to take care of what belongs to God. And don't ever get under the illusion it's yours. You didn't come with it, and you're not going to leave with it. Can you say amen? Praise God. Job 1:21, it's only through the grace of God that anyone lives and breathes. Any comfort mankind has in his is his because of the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so now let's look at the, and that's understanding and knowing that God owns it all. So let's look at the steward's redemption plan. All right. Let's look at Exodus 13. 1 through 2. Now I'm going to take you through some Old Testament steps to the New Testament, so I really need you to follow me closely here tonight. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify to me all the firstborn. And everybody said, everything. Everything firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So that was God's Old Testament plan in the area of Moses. That was his plan for them. So if Moses spoke this, this was recorded in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, then we need to understand that was the law for them. That was the word of God for them. That was the issue for them. What do you think they should have done? Do you feel that they should have dedicated the firstborn to God? That they should have dedicated every first beast, that's animal, fowl, bird, whatever it was, and dedicate that to the Lord? Absolutely. Because it was the word of God. And it teaches all that the firstborn belong to God. This includes the firstborn of men and beasts. The firstborn are the first fruits of men. So this could be called a human tithing, right? Later in Numbers 3:11-13, listen to what God said, that he had taken the Levites in the stead of the firstborn. So the Lord has merged into putting a tribe together and a sect of people together, such as the Levites, in the stead of firstborn. And so the priesthood then became the human tithe. Everyone else worked a job. Everyone else labored. Everyone else. And the priest took care of the church. And they, and the ones that worked and labored, they gave. And that's what fed the priest, took care of the priest, and all of that. That was the second form of human tithing. Today, the apostolic ministry represents a human tithe. Are you listening? God has taken ministers of the gospel in the stead of requiring all the firstborn sons to be given. When one understands this, he sees the tithe as a redemptive factor. Amen. So the Lord is now looking at ministry, New Testament ministry, to redeem, to reach out with truth, and to reach out with the word, and to gather. So that portion is set apart for God to be used for the kingdom of God. That's what I do. That's who I am. Amen. You support me. I preach the truth. I preach the word of God. Amen. And so that's the way that the Lord has formed that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Praise God. And it's always better. It is always better if a man of God can be full time, because his time is full of ministry. Amen. Now, if his time's not going to be full of ministry, he needs to go get a job. Amen. I've heard preachers say, you need to stay with a job so you have retirement when you get... Hey, my goal is not to stay with a job so I have retirement. My goal is to please God and have apostolic revival and refreshing and renewal, to build churches, to start churches, to send out missionaries, to support missionaries, to grow things, to... Amen. And so... That's the way that works. All that, amen. According to Numbers, God's chosen way of providing Levites was through a tithe on all the increase. The Levites had the responsibility of providing for their families and the house of God. This tithe on the increase met that need. Everything is God's, yet when one tithes, he redeems the remainder for his personal use. It's not his to disperse until it has been redeemed through tithing. Amen. The Bible says, how shall they know except he be sent? How are they going to know? They got to have a preacher. They got to have a pastor. They got to have the fivefold ministry. Amen. You can come every service and sit out there and stare up here, but if there's no one up here, how are we going to know? How are we going to have church? How are we going to do what God wants us to do? Where are we going? What's our goals? What's our dreams? What's our vision? And you're staring at an empty pulpit. But the Lord has provided ministry. And if I died tonight, and I hope I don't, just thought you'd hear that. If I died tonight, the Lord would provide another man, another individual, because that's his plan. Amen. And as long as there's a man giving, and as long as God is giving you that portion, then the remainder of that portion will be blessed. Now, in the New Testament, when it comes to our income, you can't just spend it any way you want to. You can't just do what you want to do. I don't have enough to tithe this week. I'll double up next week. I don't have enough next week, and I'll just try to catch up sometime. I'm just doing my best out here. I'm working a job, and we're not making ends meet, and I know I didn't give my tithing, but it'll be all right. No, it will not be all right. Amen. The Lord wants to redeem the rest of what you made by the portion that you gave to him. And if you did not give that to him, he can't redeem the rest, because that belongs to him. I hope I'm making good sense to you, because it's true. Amen. If we withhold what belongs to God, we are robbing Him of what belongs to Him. How, in God's name, is He going to be able to bless what you have if what you have was stolen from Him? And that's the way it works. We give to God what rightfully belongs to Him. I do, you do, all of us do. Amen. And He redeems the rest. And when He redeems it, everything the Lord has redeemed, He blesses. If you've been in church any amount of time at all, you're blessed. I'll be the first to admit. That's because you've been redeemed. And when you tithe, He will redeem the rest of your income, and you will be blessed. Praise God. Amen. He blessed the firstborn in the Old Testament. He blessed the Levites in the Old Testament. And He will bless your tithing in the New Testament. Amen. Amen. And so Malachi in chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. You want to see this? I want you to see this rather than just hear me say it. Amen. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. You've gone away from what I've tried to teach you. You have not kept them. And so He said in the Word of God, He said, return unto me. And then I will return unto you. Okay, how do we do this? Saith the Lord of hosts, how do we do this? But you said, where shall we return? How do we do this? And He said, will a man rob God? You have robbed me. And then you say, how have we robbed you? And then the Lord said, in tithes and offerings. It doesn't get any plainer than that. He said, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I want to redeem the rest of your income, and I want to bless the part that you're supposed to give me. And if I don't get it, I can't bless it, and a whole nation's going to go to hell, and it can't be redeemed. You've got to come back to me, and you've got to do what you're supposed to do so I can do what I'm supposed to do. See the responsibility here? I'm talking to stewards tonight. You see your responsibility? Amen. We came in naked. We're going to leave naked. You didn't come in with anything. We're not going to leave with anything. But while we're here, God's given us stuff to take care of. And we have to do it correct. And we don't want to rob God with it. Amen. His first charge was that they had abandoned the ordinances. The main ordinance he referred to was this law of the first tenth. The failure to yield tithes and offering was called robbery. Robbery is taking something that belongs to someone else. If the wealth belonged to the individual, then failure to tithe wouldn't be robbery, but just simple disobedience. But since everything belongs to God, one robs Him if he uses this money for anything before it has been redeemed by your tithing. This money is not for individual usage until it's been redeemed by giving God the tenth. Amen. Praise God. So the word tithe means tenth. The biblical term refers to more than just a tenth, but it is the tenth. There's no doubt that God is referring to the first tenth when He refers to tithing. People do not derive their living in the same manner as people did in Bible days. Quite often, goods were exchanged as barter. And in some instances, there never was any money there. And it was bartering, trading, goods, and all of that. Amen. And I remember preaching along these lines many years ago. I talked about the first fruits. And Brother Kenneth Harrison started bringing me a tenth of his garden every year. Well, I didn't tell him the Bible said fruit. It didn't say vegetables. I just took his vegetables. Hallelujah. And he knew that. But he blessed my home and my family with that. Praise God. And I will tell you this. My wife and I do not live on all of the tithing that comes into this church. If we did, we would not have what we have. I'm talking about the church. Amen. Amen. We do not even take half of the tithing that comes into this church. That's not what we're here for. We are here to grow things for the glory of God. I am going to answer to God as well as you are, as to being a steward over what he gave me. And I take that seriously. Amen. If I was to hoard everything up and it was just to be me, and what I have and what I get and what I got and all of this business, then I've got to answer to God for that. And so I've got to be just as timid about it as you are, because I will answer as well. I will not only answer according to your actions and deeds, but I will answer according to mine. Comes with the office. But I accept that. Amen. Because I want to do whatever pleases God. Hallelujah. Amen? Money is used today. Everything is affixed to the value of money. The only way to determine increase is through income. The question is quite often asked as to the proper way to tithe. Should it be on the gross, or should it be on the net income? It's not a simple question to answer sometimes. And sometimes it needs to be dealt with on an individual basis, because it depends on whether you punch a clock or you own the business. There's big differences there. Amen. And so the safest way to tithe is on gross. Safest way. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to ask you to do what J.C. Penney did. His ultimate goal, J.C. Penney's ultimate goal one day, was to live on a tenth and give God the 90. And I'm telling you, before the Lord, he met that goal and died a multi-mega millionaire, living on the 10th and giving God 90. So if we're gonna chisel and bite and crunch on little things like net and this and that gross, and it's all going to turn out gross. Amen. Hallelujah. Just cast the net on all of it, pull it in, and give God a tenth, and let God bless you. Let God redeem the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If one tithes on net, he should make sure that he tithes on all increase. All the increase. Taxes provide services that would cost a lot if the individual had to pay for them, but this taxation is not a willful act of the contributor. Amen. You don't pay taxes because you just love paying taxes. We pay taxes because we have to. Am I right? Amen. Or get locked up and live off the government. And they got very small apartments. Money market and savings deductions are definitely increased. Let every person make this decision prayerfully. And if one chooses to tithe on net, you've got to make sure that you tithe on the income of your tax refund and your tax refund. Amen. Amen. So it is, praise the Lord. And so where does one tithe? A lady told me one time in a restaurant, I don't even know how it came up. She said, yeah, she said, I think she felt guilty. That's why she had to talk to me about it. When they find out you're a preacher, man, it's like, just let's go in this booth over here and make confessions and stuff. And so I'm at a restaurant, and this lady's telling me this stuff, and I don't even know her. She don't know me, but she's just telling everything. And so she said, yeah, my son, he's in college, and we don't make a lot of money. And she said, I thought, you know, it'd be a good thing. I'm still tithing, so I'm sending him a tenth of my income. Okay, then, you just go to Golden Corral next Sunday, eat there, and give out back what you should have given to Golden Corral. See how that works out for you. You give where you eat. You give where you've been fed. You give where the blessings of God are and being poured out. Amen? Praise God. So, you know, the local people were responsible for providing for the local Levites, not their own, not another priest in some other distant village. Someone asked if they could send their tithe to another minister. And, you know, again, we can't pay a shopper, can the shopper pay Kmart for goods purchased at Walmart? One can make a donation to another ministry, but it will not be considered a tithe in the eyes of God. If the church member sends tithe to a minister other than his pastor, he's removing his membership from that local assembly and transferring it to somewhere else, even though they're not there. Amen. And there's not a godly pastor in the world that will accept your tithing away from your local assembly, because they know what I'm preaching is true as well. And so if they're accepting your tithing, then that should send up a red signal. Amen. Let's look at offerings real quick. Are we okay? I'm feeling a lot of pressure up here for some reason, so pray for me. Anything above the tenth is considered an offering. Anything above a tenth is considered an offering. It's impossible to give an offering before one has paid your tithing. Amen. We don't offer our tithing. That's what we give back to God. And then after that, the offering comes in. One can't give what he does not possess, and until it's been redeemed, it's not yours to give. That's why your tithe is not an offering and your offering's not tithe. If you try to give an offering without tithing, it's not even yours to give, because your income's not been redeemed as of yet. It's not been turned over to you. You haven't redeemed it with your tithe. Do you understand? Praise God. So one pays tithe and then gives offering. Tithing is a moral obligation. And while giving offering is a scriptural command that must be obeyed, a specific percentage is not required in offering. A person robs God when he fails to submit tithe and offerings. Malachi 3 and 8 again. Amen. There were times when an offering of 5% was required of the Jews, but this cannot be proven as a consistent requisite for the New Testament. But I have always given tithe plus 5 or more. That's what I've done. Amen. And so, but, you know, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says one should give as he purposes in his heart. This does allow the individual jurisdiction to decide, because you've already tithed and the Lord's redeemed the rest of your income. So whatever you give is up to you as to what you give. There are times, however, when the Lord asks for sacrificial offerings. Amen. This happens to the church, or happened to the church in the book of Acts, as we've seen in the past, even here at Landmark, people giving above their tithing, their offering, and sacrificing, and then coming back with their testimonies about some great thing God has done. Amen. So in this case, one should not let his right hand know what his left hand is doing. Matthew 6 and 3. The best way for one to give is to ask the Lord what he would have you to give. Amen. And then be obedient. This faith will be rewarded. Remember, it is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. Right? 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's stand. So, in a little bit of a review, we have found out that we came in with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. And what we do acquire is God's. And if it is God's, then we've got to be good stewards over it. Praise God. And understand, amen, that honor, respect, and appreciation for all the blessings of God are always required. And we always give honor, respect, and appreciation to God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we hear truth, that makes us responsible for it. Amen? Praise God. I am not here to judge anyone. I very, very seldom look at the records. I honestly could not tell you who is or who is not faithful in their tithing. Please don't use that not to be faithful. I'm just telling you. There are others that do secretarial work and things like that, and they know. But I do get an annual report of how much every individual individually gave, and I look at that, and a lot of times I've looked at it and I said, oh, that's why, you know? And then I see how people just broke the record and busted the gate doing 98, and I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, oh, that's why. That's why this happened. That's why this came. That's why that. You see what I'm saying? But I don't make it up every day because that's just not me. I trust. I depend on. I just know that people, when they hear it and they know that it comes from the Word, they're going to be obedient to it. I don't judge. Amen. Perhaps there's someone in here that has not come to the revelation of tithing as of yet. I'm not judging you. I'm just teaching you. Amen. How many of you can raise your hand when you've ever heard me say that an individual is going to hell? Not one individual can raise your hand. With that being said, don't you ever tell anybody they're going to hell. You don't have that right. You don't know where that individual is going to spend their eternity, and you're not giving them any kind of a grace gap. God found you in turmoil. God found you without sharing. He found you without caring. He found you in hopelessness, and He redeemed you. Aren't you glad He had a little mercy? Well, then that's what we're going to do for the rest of the world that we come in contact with. We're going to have a little mercy with them. You say, well, then what do? You love them all the way to Calvary. And then after Calvary is when they're going to learn everything they need to learn and begin to adhere to what they need to adhere to. Praise God. Amen? All right. Praise God. And so we don't judge, but we do teach the Word of God. We do share the Word of God. And we do care. Amen? Aren't you glad we care? You wouldn't be here if we didn't care. Aren't you glad we love? You wouldn't be here if we didn't love. Amen. Aren't you glad we pray for people? You wouldn't be here if we didn't pray for you. Aren't you glad He's a healer? Have you ever been healed? Come on, wave at me one time. Yeah. God is good all the time, and His Word is good. And so everything we've talked about tonight, pray over it. Believe God over it. Act upon it in the spirit of love. And if you can do it, and if you can be obedient to it with the spirit of love, then turn yourself loose and let God bless you. Give your tithing, your offering, your sacrifice in the times that are required, and watch God redeem the rest. Amen. And you'll wonder where it all came from. I've heard it too many times. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so try it. You'll like it. Praise the Lord. I wish we had time for testimonies. There's people here that can blow your mind about $300 here and $20,000 raise in 1 year and on and on and on. We can just go with it. Praise God. But God is faithful if we can be faithful to God. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we call on the name that's greater than any name. Believing you right now for the Spirit of God to move and the power of God to touch. We look to you for your anointing. We look to you for your presence. We look to you right now for your Spirit, and we pray your mercy and your grace. Speak to us, Lord, as the Word of God has been revealed and refreshed and renewed in our minds. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to us as individuals to act upon the Word of God according to your perfect will, that we might please you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody shout amen. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another. Thank you for being here tonight.